chapter 9, verses 36 to 43. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with a request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. The psalm this morning is Psalm 23. We will read this together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.
The second lesson this morning is from Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Here ends the reading.
Eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I invite any children who are here to come forward for a message with me on the steps.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
Ellie, what do you think you could do for someone who's feeling alone? Could you maybe be their friend? Do we think that we could do that? Wow! Look at this! All of my burdens are gone! Oh, I feel so light! Now I can go out into the world and help others take their burdens down. Does that sound like a good idea? So you guys can go out into the world, and if you see someone who's hurting or afraid or sad, you can help them out. Very good. All right, thanks for coming up, you guys. Remember that, and we'll see you next time. I'm going to go put my bag away. Jordan, maybe you want to carry my backpack for me? Can you help me with my burdens here?
Let us pray. O God, our shepherd, you know your sheep by name, and you lead us all to safety through these valleys that burden us. Guide us by your voice that we might walk in certainty to love and serve the world in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we heard this morning in Eric's video how beloved Psalm 23 is. And throughout my time studying the Psalms with the Wednesday morning Bible study, we've had the opportunity to talk about Psalm 23 twice. We started our study off in Psalm 23 because it's really well known and it's a comfortable place for us to start. And then when we were cycling through, we came to it again. And each time we found new insights into God's promises for our lives. And each time we remembered God's promises for us, and we remembered those times when maybe we're weighed down with grief or sorrow. The psalm brought up memories of hospital rooms and funeral services and sitting next to someone that they love. So what is it about those times in our life, those times when we're carrying those heavy, heavy burdens, that we need to lean in, we need to trust God and in God's promises? I'm sure if you think about it long enough, you have some of these connections to the 23rd Psalm as well. What is it about this psalm that is so comforting in those times when we're weighed down by all of the baggage in our life? If you were paying attention to the children's sermon, you might see where I'm going with this. I'm going to tell a couple of stories. Throughout my life, and starting at a very, very young age, I was taught to be prepared. Now, if I make eye contact with some of the folks who are in my internship committee, this is something we talk about quite often, that Vicar Maria never goes anywhere without being prepared first. But I learned it, I think, maybe when I was a brownie in Girl Scouts, that first day when we learned that motto to be prepared. And so I carried that idea with me on into high school, and I was making this huge decision. Was I going to go to college right after high school, or was I going to join the Young Americans, the performing music group based out here in California? And I was talking with one of my mentors at the time. Her name is Lois, and she was a music director in some of the musicals I had been in. She was a really, really well-educated woman. She had many, many master's degrees, if you can believe it. And so I was confiding in her. I said, Lois, I don't know what to do. What should I do? She gave me this piece of advice that I think is really, really helpful. She said, Maria, life is a journey. So pack your suitcase full. Now, I still think that that is really, really good advice, but I kind of took it to the extreme. And I started to prepare and prepare and prepare so much that I was being weighed down by all of this baggage that I was carrying. So I joined the Young Americans and began to tour around the world and teach kids how to sing and dance, and we would go on a tour for about 3 months at a time. Sometimes tours were a little more than 3 months, sometimes they were a little bit less than 3 months. And I don't know if any of you have ever packed for a 3 month journey in one suitcase weighing 50 pounds. It is a difficult, difficult task. Not only, you know, would my clothes get dirty and I need to wash them at my homestay family's homes, but I get sick of the clothes that I brought. It wasn't only clothes that I needed to bring, but shampoo and conditioner and stage makeup for my shows and a hair dryer and a curling iron and shoes. I had to fit all of this in one suitcase. And I got to my first homestay family in Germany. And I was kind of going through my luggage, and one of the seasoned touring cast who was staying with me, Emily, she took one look at my suitcase and she said, whoa, you packed way too much. She said, you need to learn how to travel lighter. You see, every homestay family that we went into usually had a mom who would have a hair dryer, so I could use the mom's hair dryer. And if she didn't have one, I could go 3 days without a hair dryer. Most homestays you'd go into would have shampoo and conditioner in the shower, and so I didn't have to bring the big Costco-sized tub of shampoo and conditioner on tour. And this tour would go on, and we would get sick with our clothes. We would end up trading clothes with other cast members. And all of a sudden, our wardrobe doubled and tripled in size. I needed to learn how to travel light. Truth be told, I think that there's some truth in that for all of us, not just in the physical sense of traveling with much lighter baggage, but in the mental sense, in the emotional sense of needing to not carry those burdens. Last weekend, I had the joy of being with women here in this congregation on a women's retreat. And the theme was found, forgiven, and freed. So I asked the ladies what I thought to be kind of a simple question. I said, what would you like to be freed from? And I thought maybe they'd pick something like my mom would say, I'd like to be freed from choosing what to make for dinner at night. I don't care what I make, I just don't want to decide which thing I'm making. But these ladies really took my question to heart. And they said, I'd like to be freed from worry and from fear and from guilt, from sadness, from depression, from resentment. Truth be told, when you woke up this morning, you grabbed some luggage. I've been reading Max Lucado's book on the 23rd Psalm, and he suggests this very same thing. He says, somewhere between the first step on the floor and the last step out the door, you grabbed some luggage. You stepped over to the baggage carousel and loaded up. Don't remember seeing a baggage terminal? That's because the carousel is not like the one at the airport. It's the one in the mind. And the bags we grab are not made of leather, they're made of burdens. The suitcase of guilt, a sack of discontent. You drape a duffel of weariness on one shoulder and hanging a bag of grief on the other. Add on a backpack of doubt and an overnight bag of loneliness and a trunk full of fear. No wonder you're exhausted at the end of the day. Lugging luggage is exhausting. God says to us, set that stuff down. You are carrying burdens that you don't need to. You're carrying things you were never intended to carry. Like a mom, and we're so grateful for our moms on this day and the people in our lives who are like moms to us. Like a mom who picks their child up after school and the kid who is weighed down with stress and the weight of their backpack. And their mom says, here, let me carry that. That's what God is like for us in the 23rd Psalm. Let's take a look at the 23rd Psalm. If you have it in front of you, you can take a look at it. Otherwise, I'll kind of walk us through this psalm and this unburdening business that God is into. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Whoa. What would that be like? If that burden of discontentment would be lifted from our shoulders, that we no longer would have to keep up with the Joneses, but that we would have everything that we want. And this reminds me of the petition in Martin Luther's Small Catechism where you're going through the Lord's Prayer. And that petition, give us this day our daily bread. God promises to give us everything we need. I shall not be in want. Be so great to just lift that burden up and off of your shoulders. And I think maybe some of you are thinking, oh yeah, that would be really, really great, but I don't think I could do that. Just saying those words and reading those words in the 23rd Psalm starts that journey of unburdening. The psalm continues, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. What would it be like if all of the things that we're stressed about in our life, that calendar, all the things that we have to do, all the people that we need to talk to in order to get this thing going, what if we gave those things to God instead of worrying about them and stressing about them? What if we told God about them? If we began a regular practice of allowing God to restore us, that's what saying these words can do. He leads me down right paths. This week in confirmation, the confirmation class, and I talked about doubt. And I said, what do you do if you've got a question of faith or you're doubting? And they came up with a really good list. They said, we can pray. They said, we can read scripture, read song lyrics, read articles written by people of faith. And they said, we can talk to somebody. We can talk to our mentors. We can talk to Pastor Kate. We can talk to you. We can talk to our friends in this confirmation class. We can talk to some of the leaders and mentors that we have in the congregation. Janine Ward, who's taught them in Sunday school, and Mary Ann. Those were just a few of the names that they brought up. God puts those people in our lives to help lead us down those right paths. And even though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for you, O God, are with me. The promise that God isn't just with us now, unburdening us in all of these ailments that weigh us down in this life, but that God would follow us into the next life. eternal life, abundant life in him. The promises continue throughout this psalm. You see, God is in the business of unburdening us. And the 23rd psalm is the promise to us that God is in that business. So what's the point for God, right? Like, why is God in the business of unburdening us? Well, one thing is because God promised us abundant life. And so, yeah, God wants us, you know, to have eternal life and abundant life here. But I think one step further, it's that when you're carrying all of your burdens, your arms are full. Your emotional capacity is full, and you cannot help others. We're called to be Easter people. We're called to go out into the world and serve, like Tabitha in our first lesson this morning, who was raised from the dead to share the gospel to the world, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And like in our children's message, where once all of those burdens are gone, then we can go and we can help unburden others. We are called to do this unburdening work, this work of Jesus, to seek the lost, to uplift the oppressed, to feed the hungry and serve others in love. To go out into the world and to spread the good news that Jesus is with us now, unburdening us from all of our worry and discontent and fear and stress. But that Jesus died on the cross, that sin and death and our burdens would not be the victor, but that Jesus Christ would have the victory, and that we could have eternal life in him. This isn't something that we wait for. This is something that happens now, this unburdening, so we can go out in the joy of Easter and serve others in love. Amen.